Well, before I dive into the homily, I wanted to give you a brief offertory update. You may have noticed that our new weekly offertory budget goal is $1,000 more per week this year than last year at 25.5. And just to keep you informed as to why, there are a few main factors. Number one, we had to decrease our estimates of what we received during our two biggest holy days of the year, Christmas and Easter, because the increased attendance during those times, the creasters, so to speak, people who come to Christmas and Easter, they just haven't been giving what they used to back in the day. And since we've been consistently falling short of those estimates, we have more realistic amounts for those two holy days, and so that amount has to be made up in our weekly budget. Secondly, we had to offset the loss of income for the Heritage Festival this year due to COVID, which is about a $50,000 hit to our income. Thanks, COVID. Anyway, third, bequests aren't what they used to be, so please include St. John Parish in your will. And finally, not surprisingly, we had some increased expenses, the most significant amounts being in, number one, the cost of utilities for our various campuses, number two, additional school salary expense increases for our teachers and aides, who are well worth it, and finally, third, we had to have an increased IT budget this year because we've been using computers that are almost 10 years old when the normal cycle is about a new one every 4 to 5 years, right? So we've really stretched our tech dollars, having them use them much longer than average. But this is the year that we need to get new ones. With that update, we have pledged 389 pledges to our Sunday offertory thus far, and last year we had about 469. So that's understandable since with this whole COVID thing, we haven't gotten everyone back, making turning it in easy to overlook. So if you haven't turned in your Sunday offertory pledge card already, please do so this week, this upcoming week, even if it's simply renewing the same amount from last year. That really helps us with our budgeting and qualifying for another Trinity Charitable Grant, Trust Grant, which helped us tremendously this past year, especially in our online outreach. We've had a lot of folks inquiring and a few folks coming back to the church because they had a chance to observe our activities online. And for our DSA, we have 342 contributions turned in, and we are only $25,000 short of this year's goal. That's not bad given this whole COVID thing. So if you haven't turned yours in, please help take us over the top. But thank you to all those who have given their share as it keeps the work of the kingdom going, even in these weird times. But on to our homily, which is not totally unrelated, because one of the parables Jesus offers us is the parable of the hidden treasure, right? In fact, this is Rembrandt's depiction of the parable of the hidden treasure. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Out of joy he does that, no hesitation. And Jesus immediately follows that one up with another similar short parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. In other words, the kingdom of heaven, eternal union with God, is worth everything we have. Why? Because ultimately, that's the only thing that fulfills the whole meaning of our life. Right? The kingdom of heaven is worth everything we have because that's what fulfills everything we are. Who are we? We're sons and daughters of God, made in the image and likeness of God himself. So does that make sense? The kingdom of heaven is worth everything we have because that's what fulfills everything we are. In other words, we're made for heaven. We're made for eternal union with God. If we don't have that, then we have lost everything. It doesn't matter what we've accomplished down here, as important as that is. It doesn't matter how talented we were or how rich we were or what titles we had. and what accolades and honors we've accumulated, as significant as those may have been, if we don't make it to the eternal kingdom of heaven, none of that will have mattered. Zilch. Even if we have something so awesome and supremely significant as having a loving and supportive family surrounding us, bringing us so much happiness here in this world, if we miss out on heaven, even that will not have mattered if we are eternally separated from God. So do we live our life like that? Or do we compartmentalize our faith and compartmentalize our relationship with God as if it was just one out of many other important things in our life? Attaining heaven, it's worth everything. And so Jesus teaches us in today's first two parables that everything that we have and everything we do must ultimately be oriented and ordered to the kingdom of heaven. Even our enjoyment of our things here on earth, which is great, right? Just as a concrete example of these, of that in my own life these past few days, from Tuesday to Friday of this past week, I was with three of my college buddies. We get together every year for a buddy's golf trip, and we compete for a trophy called the Claret Jug, which I won this year, by the way. And it looks like the Claret Jug that is given at the Open Championship. And can you tell I'm excited that it's in my possession?
Just as a quick question, where did you guys get that jug, by the way?
I have no clue. Okay. I have to add, that's a good question, actually. So I'll ask about that.
Yeah, and good.
It's been, you know, this is our 21st year of doing this. And this year being a COVID year, we stayed at the lake house of one of my college buddies in southern Wisconsin. It's a great time of fellowship. So even our enjoyment of there in those 3 days is meant to be ordered and oriented and not compartmentalized from my longing for the kingdom of heaven. Right? To give thanks to the Lord for that grand golf course, the evening boat rides, the beauty of creation, all of which foreshadows the unsurpassed beauty of heaven. To give thanks to the Lord for those tasty steaks and burgers and bourbon that foreshadows the great wedding feast of the Lamb. To give thanks to the Lord for the brotherhood, the bonds of friendship that we enjoyed, that foreshadows and prefigures the communion, this ecstatic communion of saints that we will enjoy in the heavenly kingdom, where there is no more racism and discrimination or sadness or suffering. And to give thanks to the Lord for the sweet victory of the Claret Jug that foreshadows the great heavenly victory we will have over all things that bring sadness and suffering to our world. That's part of why it's important to pray regularly, so that we are continually ordering and orienting everything we do and have to the kingdom of heaven. Everything should be leading us to that eternal goal. When we don't have heaven in mind, what happens? We begin living solely for the things of this world, right? And that's what gets humanity into trouble. We begin projecting our infinite longings, which can only be satiated by eternity. We begin projecting those infinite longings of God and His justice and His peace. And we begin projecting those upon created things, which simply cannot satisfy. So instead of seeing the wonderful created things around us as foreshadowings and prefigurements of the eternal life to come, we place infinite desires upon these passing things that can't deliver on the hopes that we place on them. Only God can fulfill such grand hopes and longings. But that's what happens when we have heaven out of sight and out of mind. We put all our eggs in a basket that can't deliver. We assign importance and value to things inordinately. And so our happiness is tied into mere things that are passing. And that's where I want to echo a quote from the actor-comedian Jim Carrey. He said this, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." It's not the answer. That realization Jim Carrey made is a good one because it's a sign that he's seeking and searching, which is the prerequisite for discovering God. That leads to another thing that the first two parables in today's gospel hold in common. Both involve someone seeking and searching. Seeking and searching for a great treasure, the treasure that's worth all the treasures the person has. So the lesson we get from that is that we have to actually go and search for God and his kingdom because there is this hidden quality about it. The fallen nature of humanity that from that original rebellion against God has prevented us from seeing clearly. It won't be fully revealed to us until we cross that chasm from this dimension of space and time unto eternity. But there is one who reveals heaven to us, gives a peek of that heaven to us, and gives us a share of it even here and now. And of course, that's Jesus, who reveals to us the face of God. And he's worth everything, right? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And by the look of that crucifix, he thinks that you and I are worth everything. Don't forget that dignity that you have that comes from him. He's the one who tells us, seek and you will find. But if the people aren't even seeking him because the world is telling us God doesn't exist, then don't we see the great need for evangelization? The great need for the church's work to proclaim the good news, to speak truth to the lies and deceit of the father of lies, the accuser, the divider, who has sown seeds of dissension amidst the human family. But for people to discover God and witness to this fallen world requires us to surrender our worldly ways of thinking and allow him to lead us. Remember what God said in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts rather than your thoughts." So human wisdom is not enough. In fact, it is wholly inadequate. We need divine wisdom. And one of the primary ways he leads us and gives us his divine wisdom is through the sacred scriptures. So I want to encourage you this year in some concrete way to really dive into the scriptures. Because in these troubling times, we really need to be rooted in our faith and strengthened in our conviction that our relationship with the Lord is the pearl of great price that's worth everything. Our faith will be tested. It already has been with this whole COVID pandemic, as people get used to not being at church, and as there is a surge in vandalization of churches and religious statues. It's not nearly as bad as for the Christians in China in this most recent crackdown by the CCP. It was in the news this past week. The henchmen of the Chinese Communist Party who are now beginning to force people to renounce their Christian beliefs and replace any crosses and religious images with portraits of their president and chairman of the CCP, the Communist Party. Withholding social welfare from the state if they do not comply. You know, remember, as a communist nation, they rely heavily from Big Brother for payments from the state. And the persecution is even worse in Nigeria, where in just Just the first 6 months of 2020, mind you, just the first 6 months, about 1,200 Nigerian Christians have been killed by radical Islamists such as Boko Haram. And the government has been lax about doing much of anything about it. In humanity's turn away from God, our world has become lost. And some of the seeds of that persecution have been sown here in the States. If there are government leaders who are willing, for example, to totally shut down the Little Sisters of the Poor and destroy their service to the elderly and the poor by fining them tens of millions of dollars for simply not bending to their dictatorial whims, then they will have no issue with trampling on your rights of religious freedom and mine. Thank goodness the Supreme Court blocked what would have been an estimated $70 million in fines. Because God has been shoved out of the public conversation, people are making man-made ideologies filled with error, making that their religion. Because at the core of our being, we're religious beings, right? We're made for worship. If it's not worshiping God, then it's going to be worshiping something else. And history has shown how dangerous that has become for people of faith. Just ask anyone that's left of the greatest generation who lived through the time right after the Second World War, when tens of millions of people were killed at the hands of tyrants like those of Russia. We risk going down the road of history repeating itself should those of a militant anti-religious secularism begin wielding unchecked power. When God is not the source of our inalienable rights and dignity, then we begin to lose our sense that those rights are sacred and inviolable. I mean, it's already happened, right? The way we treat each other. And we begin to think that we can treat human beings as disposable. As a result, your steadfastness, your perseverance in the faith, in the midst of persecution, will be a shining witness to the people in our land who no longer know what to believe about themselves. What our world needs are the timeless truths of God, founded in the divinely revealed Word of God. Because of all the distractions in the world, our nation's citizens have turned away from God and have become biblically illiterate. Right? We've forgotten the Ten Commandments, for example. And so we don't mind if people kill or destroy, steal, or lie, cheat, steal. Remember those Ten Commandments? It's rampant now. So again, I want to invite you this year in some concrete way to really dive into the Scriptures. You know, we have a number of different Bible studies here at the parish led by our faith formation team, but currently everything is being done virtually online right now. If you've noticed, we've been doing Exodus. Todd Gale has been doing Exodus and the team. If you're interested, be sure to get your name on Todd Gale's email distribution list. And in fact, we have someone from the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan to present another special opportunity coming right here to Jackson during the announcements at the end of Mass. He'll mention, he or she, I think it's Colleen or Scott, one of the two, will make that announcement. Christians, the time has come to get our game face on regarding our faith. Would your answer be the same as King Solomon's in the first reading that we heard when God said, ask for something and I'll give it to you? If God said that to you, that he would grant anything you asked, what would your answer be? What would your answer be? Would it be an understanding heart of the ways of God, as Solomon said, a heart that is able to distinguish between right and wrong? Something our world desperately needs with all the conflicting lies out there that even people of goodwill are falling for because we as a society have lost its foundation, our foundation. That's why our faith is priceless, right? It informs us of the truth of who we are and from where we came. And so, church, let's be the church, the witness of Jesus Christ in the world, that shining light in a world that needs it. Let's be prepared and live in such a way that our faith in the Lord and our hope in the kingdom of heaven truly are worth all that we have and all that we are.